This is episode number 905 with New York Times bestselling author Grant Cardone.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Warren Buffett said, "The more you learn, the more you earn." And Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." I am excited about this one because we've got my good friend Grant Cardone on. I've known Grant for over a decade now. I've interviewed him many different times over the past decade, and it's been incredible to watch his journey evolve, grow, expand, and see what he can create from his vision. And he'll talk about it in this interview, but 10, 12 years ago, he was not in the best place financially. And he had to kind of restart his life at 50 years old. He really started from the ground up. He used his experience from the past and rebuilt. And it's been amazing to watch him grow and build his audience, build his business, and change lives. And if you don't know who Grant Cardone is, he's the CEO of Cardone Capital. He's a mega international speaker, an entrepreneur, and author of The 10X Rule, and creator of 21 best-selling business programs. He owns and operates 7 privately held companies and a $1.5 billion portfolio of multifamily properties. Named the number one marketer to watch by Forbes magazine, he is also the founder of a massive conference, the 10X Movement and the 10X Growth Conference, the world's largest business and entrepreneur conference that there is. And in this interview, we get deep on a lot of different topics, as we always do. For some reason, Grant always cries on my show now, so we get him to talk about certain things that he doesn't talk about anywhere else, and I love to see him open up and share and just give you his heart. And he talks about his daily non-negotiables about money that has made him a millionaire, a multimillionaire. He talks about his insecurities, the insecurities that he still struggles with now, but also helps him in his business and his personal life. He talks about his wife, Elena, and how she balances him out in other areas of his life with his family and in his business, the legacy Grant hopes to leave in his family that he didn't get from his father, and finally, the importance of health to sustain you in a healthy mindset, whether your business is going well or it's not going well yet. I am pumped about this. Make sure to text one friend this podcast, lewishowes.com/905. Make sure to share it on social media. And if this is your first time here, I'd love to hear your feedback. So make sure to shoot me a message if this is your first time here. All right, I'm pumped about this one. So let's dive in with the one and only Grant Cardone.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Ooh. Summarize with AI in a click. Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Canva. At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Welcome, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. We've got my good friend Grant Cardone in the house, man.
Man, your audience is probably like, well, I'm tired of seeing Grant.
I know. I was just asking Tiffany, I was like, when do we have Grant on last? Is it too soon to have him back on?
Yeah,
she was like, it was 7 months ago. I go, it's not too soon.
Time
Let's do
flies,
this.
Man.
Time flies.
God.
In the last interview, we got you to do something you've probably never done in an interview. We got you to cry. We got you to open up.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were like, and I think you were a little upset about it afterwards.
No,
you
I
were
wasn't like, upset
oh,
at all.
Man,
I wasn't upset.
People always want to find something when they're listening. But people really resonated with you in a different level.
Uh-huh.
And they were, I got so many messages were like, man, I never really liked him fully. But after I saw that.
That is a shame, though.
I saw his vulnerable side. Yeah, I saw that yeah. he wasn't just yeah. like a money-grabbing mm-hmm. salesman, but he yeah, had, yeah. you know, this deep yeah. connection to your mom.
You know, it really hurts that people, that I've done such a poor job of maybe, you know, I guess I've just been trying to get through life and protect myself, you know, so yeah. I don't show that. But, I mean, underneath all the bravado and the, you know, there's a guy. You know? and underneath everybody, there's a guy. Like,
yeah.
every time I'm in a deal, I'm worried that I can't get it. I'm not good enough to get it.
Really?
Oh, totally.
You still doubt yourself in a big deal?
100%.
What goes through your
Look,
mind?
We're getting ready to do this conference, the big event in, yep. in Vegas. Every night and every morning, I wake up and I go to sleep with this anxiety about what's the opening?
What's your opening?
What's my opening?
What are you going to say?
What do I do? What do I do?
How do I make it bigger than last year?
Not so much bigger, but how do I make sure the audience that's there? Because I'm really not thinking about bigger. I'm not thinking about how to do it bigger. I'm thinking about how do I make sure every single person in the audience in the first 3 minutes knows, like, I'm in the right place.
Mm.
And I need to do that in the first 60 seconds.
That's it, man. Do you have an idea what you're going to say?
They've already paid. They're already there. But I have this insecurity, this thing about, like, I need to know, I need the audience to feel good about it.
Mm. Not have buyer's remorse.
Like, yeah, right. In the first 3 minutes, say, I know I'm in the right place. Because I've seen, particularly in the self-improvement space, so many ripoffs, so many come on sleazy events. And so it's really, really important for me that people, particularly for those people who have made a mistake, gone to a deal and like, I didn't like that.
Yeah. And they leave after the first session or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I made a mistake coming here. This was dumb. I need to, in that first 5 minutes, like, oh man, I made a good decision.
Yeah.
Coming here.
What do you think it's going to take from you to make that happen? Is it something you say or is it more how you,
being? No, I don't think it's something I say.
I think
it's something that you couldn't get in any other place. Like something where the guy went, you the audience knows without me saying anything, hey, he went the extra mile.
Mm.
We accomplished that last year.
Yeah.
Or
35,000 people. Didn't you fly over like a
yeah,
you
yeah, yeah,
drop
yeah,
in,
yeah,
parachute
yeah,
in or something
yeah,
crazy?
Yeah. I don't think that that's what did it, but I know that there was, Sherry asked me when I was doing it, and Elena asked me too. She's like, what's success on this deal? And I'm like, people walk in, they look around and say, okay, I'm gonna do my life different.
Mm.
And nothing's happened.
It's just the context that you've set, just the energy, the stage.
Totally. Because we spare no expense at these deals.
Yeah, you spend a lot.
So like, everything is done right. Uh-huh. You know, like it's more of a, I remember going to, I'm very much an entertainer,
yeah.
you know, and even more so a producer. Like I am behind the scenes, I like to produce things.
Uh-huh.
And so for effect, I want to create an effect, right?
Right.
And maybe some of the hard shell stuff is me trying to create an effect like, hey, don't run over me.
Yeah.
Because I was bullied quite a bit.
Right.
So, you know, I like, even in the videos that we shoot, I'm watching the video for production.
I think maybe that headline chase this, yeah, tweak it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, you got it in the wrong place, man. Yeah. Well, we shot it like, so what, take the end, put it in the front. And so I have this producer, maybe I'm a frustrated producer.
Really? Where'd you get that from, you think?
Well, I mean, I know where I got it from, but anyway, too much for this show.
Okay. What do you think, you know, we're going into a new year, new decade. What do you think was the biggest lesson from last year for you that you learned about yourself? And something that you let go of, that you uh-huh. said, I'm no longer doing this thing. Maybe I did it for the last 5-10 years, my whole life, and I'm stopping it. And I'm now going to be doing this new thing.
Yeah.
Did you have any of those?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, we're always trying to go to the next level, right? So like in the real estate, I can't do deals that I was on the show talking to you about last time.
Really? They're too small.
Yeah. We were doing 30, 40, $50 million deals. So like,
seems very small, right?
Not really.
My first real estate deal took $3,000.
Wow.
So
Louisiana?
Our last one. In Texas, in Houston.
Texas.
The last one took $41
million. Wow.
Cash. So we're not going to do little deals anymore.
A little deal is what? Under 30?
Yeah. They're just, yeah. But then I start thinking, why am I doing one at a time? Mm. Why don't I go do 10 deals all in one basket?
Mm.
You know? So that's one thing.
So do multiple deals at a time, do them bigger.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one event a year, we probably won't continue to do.
The 10X Growth Con.
Yeah. So like we've added 50 this event, like, this year.
You're crazy.
Stupid, right?
You're crazy, man.
50 cities. We've already done 7. We did 7 in January.
7 in January. So the month's not even over.
Yeah. So keep in mind, I have a big event in February. That's a profit event. That's a paid for event.
Yeah.
And I stacked 7 free events in front of it.
Crazy.
And people were like, from a marketing standpoint, you're trying to sell this one event. You know how hard that is.
It's really hard.
Okay.
To sell tickets. You get people to show up. And
like it's so hard.
Really hard.
I mean, the hardest. Russell Brunson said, I said, Russell, what do you fear? Events.
It's so hard to get people to show up.
Nobody,
even if they buy, half the time they don't show up.
It's crazy.
Spend $1,000 and they don't show up.
Crazy. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. So in addition to having this hard thing to fill out a stadium, a convention center, we added 7 more in front of it.
You're crazy.
That are free, bro.
So in different cities. So
I'm trying to sell
travel.
This one. Yeah. My staff is stressed out of their mind. They're freaked out. They got too much work. And I'm like, add 7 more.
You're nuts.
So that's a new thing.
So it's a new thing.
How can you take crazy to another level?
Now, is there ever a time where it's too crazy and it's actually hurting you as opposed to helping the...
Yeah. There's times when I'm like, okay,
that's too much.
Too much. You stressed out everybody. I mean, it was too much. And we just take it off. I mean, I can always pull back. You know?
Yeah. Now, what have these events helped with, though? What have you learned from adding these 7 events and doing 50 this year?
80% of the audience, we did 10,000 people in 4 cities.
Free event. Yep.
Free event.
So you're paying the money, you're footing the bill, you're getting the hotels, you're doing the venues, you've got your staff.
And these are nice hotels. These aren't these dives that they typically, you know, a sparse convention center, just concrete floors. I mean, it's a nice space. What we learned was, number one, 80% of the audience has never met me.
Really? Well, how are they finding you? Ads?
No, they never met me.
They've never
been in a live event with me.
Gotcha. They've watched you.
So I'm like, who's never, you know, the master show, hey, who's never seen Grant before? Whole room. I was like, wow. Oh my God. So the second thing was about 10 or 15% of the room had never heard of me before they came to this thing.
Someone brought them.
So that's 1,500 people that met me. And then there's all the people that registered that didn't come. I think our registration's about 22% show ratio on
22% who register show up.
Yeah, so 78%
don't show. They register, they're interested, but they don't come.
But they were interested in me.
Is that because it was free, you think? If they would have paid even 20, 50 bucks, do you think they would have?
I don't know. No clue.
Yeah. Wow.
But if they had to pay, they wouldn't have registered.
Gotcha.
You know.
So you got that lead, you got that.
So we'll connection. See what we can do with that, right?
So what have been the results?
And then the other thing that we learned, I'm sorry, but
you good?
The other thing was the amount of people that are interested in investing money with me is
crazy.
Ridiculous.
Wow.
Like we said, I'm partially there to educate people how to buy real estate and what not to buy. I'm trying to help them not make the first mistake. And I mean, the audience was like, dude, I just want to do it with you.
Right. Well, it's so much work to go and find the properties on your own, to deal with the taxes, the closing,
the management. The mortgage broker, the appraisal.
Everything.
The tenants.
Finding the tenants. It's just a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's what stresses me out about it.
Yeah.
I know it's a good investment.
It's not a lot of work for you.
It stresses me out about that approach.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, let me go find the right deal. Let me make sure this is... You got to get someone in there who's going to say, okay, yeah, the foundation is strong. It's not going to break in 2 years you know, or whatever.
Right.
It's like, I don't deal with those headaches.
Yeah.
So I think you hear more horror
stories. You want to be in Poland.
I want to be relaxing and get my check every month.
Yeah.
That's what I do with you.
Yeah.
You mentioned you still get insecure. Do you think insecurity is actually a good thing?
Is it a good thing? No, I think
you said, like, I think still doubt myself. I'm still a little insecure, like, about before I do a big deal, about this event. Like,
I would rather not have that.
What if you had zero insecurity? Do you think you'd actually be pushing as far as you're going?
No, I think I'd be doing bigger things.
Really?
You know, yeah. Ryan was telling me a story the other day about, you know, when he was a kid, his uncle grabbed him and said, hey, if you come live with me and work with me every weekend, you can have a car by the time you're 16. And I'm like, I wonder why is that the dream?
A car.
A car. I remember, because I had the same thing. I'm like, I want a car when I'm 15 years old. Why wasn't I thinking about a car dealership or building a car? Like, why do we think so small? Why is everybody got these similar, very similar? I'll bet you wanted a car.
Yeah.
I bet you weren't thinking about a car dealership or building it. But Elon's thinking about building a car.
But rocket ships.
Rocket ships, yeah. Going to Mars. I'm like, why does he think so big? And I always thought so small. So I don't know what goes on in Elon's mind, but I would love to not have insecurities and little think. I don't know what the
upset. Call it little think, is that what you
little,
said?
Little think. Little think.
Little think.
Little man think.
Do you think your insecurities are just as strong as they were 10, 20 years ago, or is it less?
I think that they're the same. I think that they're still there, like fully.
They're just as strong now as when you're 20.
30. Yeah, yeah. The difference. I mean, I just have experience.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could do something. I know I have these stacked up wins.
Right. You got momentum. You can get through it. It's not going to hold you back.
And I know it's a liar. It's a liar. The insecurity is a liar. It's not. It's never been right. It's never been. It's never been true. And so, you know, it's been the great thief of my life. You know, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, dude, I got out of college and I had nightmares after I got out of college that I actually didn't graduate.
You have a check and
I know I
graduated.
I know I got the piece of paper. I know I got out. And I still today look back and say, did I really get out? Like, weird. Like, am I really successful? Like, sometimes I'll tell Elena, like, I don't even know how I've done all this. Mm. How did we pull off the 35,000 people?
It's crazy, man. What's your definition of success then?
I don't know. I mean, like you know, just it's not a thing, or it's not some kind of race or
result,
time or number. You know, it's like, hey, am I? I think for me, it's more, am I fulfilling my potential?
Mm. You know, will you ever fulfill your potential?
I don't know. I mean, probably not. Yeah. I'll just keep finding a new thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, I go to the gym. I mean, a year ago, I couldn't do a push-up. Now I can do 100.
Wow.
So will I be able to do 110 one day? Mm. You know, will I even want to? At some point, you're like, I don't want to do anymore.
Right.
So until then, I just keep, like, you know, playing the game, man. It's a fun game. And I get to, you know, the beautiful thing about pressing is that you don't know if you're going to win or not. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to quit playing, and that because you don't lose. But if you keep playing the game, if I keep trying things, I get to keep experiencing the insecurity and the fear, that personal thing. It's got nothing to do with the checkbook or what you bought or how you live, but that experience of like, can I figure this out?
Yeah. When were you most insecure last year?
Last year, when was I most insecure?
Was it before the big event? Was it before a big deal?
Definitely before the big event.
Jumping out of a plane, what if I don't land?
But even after, yeah, definitely. That was stupid. Wouldn't do that again. Definitely, I was insecure before the event, thinking the night before, you know, there's no way all these people aren't going to show up. This place is going to be half empty.
Oh.
Biggest fear I have.
That's gotta be, if you're walking on a stage and seeing crickets.
Nobody's in the room. Or you start and everybody starts leaving.
Oh, you see them walking out?
People start walking out, like, this is two biggest fears I have. So that was scary. All the way up to the night of the event, like, I was terrified. You know, fearful, like, they're not gonna show up. Then even once we did that, we have a room a third the size of last year. I have worried every day since the last event whether this one will work.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, man. I know how hard they are.
Yeah. It's hard to get people to show up.
And every I just, year. Even when we're sold out, well, I'll keep pushing.
You keep selling.
Yeah, because I don't trust the numbers. Yeah. I don't trust that people will show up. That's the 10X rule, though. The 10X rule says, look, you don't stop when you get there. Mm. You keep pushing. And that way the place will be full.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until
the Singapore presentation is at 3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
What do you think it'll take for you to get over insecurity moving forward?
I'm not trying to.
You're not trying to?
I'm not trying to.
I thought you said if you could get rid of it, you'd be able to do bigger
deals. Unbelievable. But it's not a target I have.
Letting go of insecurity.
No, I think it's just a human condition. I think it's part of the game. I think it's part of being a human being, any more than I want to get rid of my arms, you know, or my legs, or my arms and my legs. My body is a limitation.
Yeah.
You know, so.
How do you manage it better then? Like, for people that are saying, I want a 10X, but I always have insecurity and fear that I'm going to fail, or people are going to show up, and I'm going to go broke. Yeah. How do you personally tell the conversation to yourself, to the insecurity and fear?
Yeah, it's not stop, it's come. You know, for me, fear, the things I'm scared of, I'm like, come on. You know, it's calling me. It says, hey, come play over here. It's an indicator, it's a good indicator, not a bad indicator.
Lean into it,
come play with me, okay? So I either have fear because it's really dangerous and stupid,
or like physically dangerous.
Yeah, like I'm gonna get to the edge of this thing. Yeah. I'm gonna get on the other side of that thing. Yeah. I'm probably gonna be scared.
Yeah.
Now, why am I gonna be scared though? Like, because I don't know what it feels like to fall, you know, this many floors and hit.
Yeah.
Maybe it does. Maybe there's no big deal about it. Maybe dying's not even a big deal.
Right.
But I don't have the experience. I don't consciously have the experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I used to be like, I can't buy a $78,000 house. I was terrified the first house I bought. I don't know what I'm doing.
Because you didn't have the experience.
I don't have the experience, man.
Yeah.
This is the problem. And you're not going to have the experience if you don't move through the fear. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do it once and then they don't do it again. You got to, like, it's not going away.
Yeah.
It's just going to, you're going to get used to you're going to get used to the ski boots. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time you put them on, man, they're freaking banging your shins.
Hurt.
Like, I can't, man. But you just wear into them.
Yeah.
New pair of shoes, new friendship.
The relationship.
The only thing that's really, really easy at the first time is the girl. First 3 days are great.
Yeah. Then you got to learn how to communicate. You got to learn.
Yeah.
My lady just moved in a few weeks ago.
Yeah. How's that?
It's amazing. And you got to learn how to have patience.
Yeah.
Two cultures, two different languages,
totally.
Two different backgrounds
totally.
Coming together in the same space, both love their privacy and space.
Uh-huh.
So it's just learning how to say, okay, this is different.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
I gotta receive, I gotta accept, I gotta move through it in a different graceful way. But I feel like I've gone through so much experience in previous relationships that I'm ready for it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've gone through those fearful moments where now I have experience. It's like, okay, I can see when the emotions are coming up. As opposed to reacting to it, let me just like sit in it.
Yeah.
And relax and like make sure everything's gonna be calm and good to go. And it blows over. So it's interesting, man.
Yeah.
When you first moved in with Elena, what was that like?
Well, dude,
that was in LA, right?
I was so giddy. Like, I wanted to be with her so bad.
For years, right?
Didn't she? Oh, yeah. Like,
you were like, she's the one before she knew she was the one.
For sure. And then I was worried that she was gonna leave. I wasn't I was all in. She wasn't all in.
It's usually the other way around.
Yeah, she was not all in. So she was very much half in, half out. Wow. I knew at any time she could blow. And so I was just like, man, can I, you know, I knew I had sold the deal, but not closed the deal. The deal was not closed.
Yeah.
I mean, we had slept together and at that point, you know, and so we were starting to have a relationship. She even moved in with me.
Really?
Like, you know, I bought this house. She moved in, but I still knew
she could bounce at any time.
She could bounce at any time because she was fragile. She was wobbly. She was commitment phobic, and I knew that because I had been.
Right.
So I could see it.
You could sense it.
Yeah, I was ready. She wasn't ready yet.
Wow.
And she had her own insecurities and she had her own doubts about her ability to be in a relationship. And she had a lot of. She would say this too. I'm not like talking out of school. She had a lot of her own calculations. Like, this means I'm going to be bored. This means monogamy. Monogamy means sex is not going to be good.
Trapped or whatever. Yeah.
Whatever all the calculations people make, the negative calculations, you know. She wasn't ready for babies. Like,
she was a lot younger than
she wasn't even ready for marriage.
So how do you close a deal with someone who's insecure, fearful, doubting?
Both parties need to be working on themselves.
Yeah.
So you can't have me improving myself and then she's not.
Both need to be.
Both need to be individually, by the way, not together. Like, your paths are different.
Yeah.
You know, what I was working on was different than what she was working
on. So she needed to have the willingness to want to grow.
Oh, totally. Because I've been with a bunch of people that were like, oh, I love you, you're awesome. Yeah, I love you and you're awesome and the sex is great, but they're not growing. And here I am, I'm a growing machine. Like, I'm an organism that wants to grow.
Yeah.
I want to improve, I want to do better. That's why I do these other take on these challenges. I want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is number one problem with me and women have always been the other party didn't want to grow.
Wow.
Every relationship I've been in prior to Elena.
Yeah.
And Elena was she was willing to grow.
She was willing. She said, okay, I know I've
she was already she was already confronting her stuff.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you know there was potential because she was willing. If she wasn't willing to grow, there's nothing that you can do. You can't close
someone. She's
going to
blame me for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
and or she's going to hold me back.
Yeah.
Like these events that I go to, I see the husband without the wife and the wife without the husband. I'm like, you can't talk your spouse to come to one of these. There's no way you're going to be able to talk your spouse into the journey.
Yeah.
Into the
bigger picture.
Yeah. Into the whole, because the journey is going to be difficult.
It's going to be hard.
Unless it's not. Mm-hmm. Unless you're just trying to flatline the deal. And that's going to be that's impossible.
If you're pushing, if you're trying to grow, it's going to be difficult.
That's difficult.
Yeah.
The flatline, impossible.
Impossible.
Because it's going down.
It's going, you can't keep it the same.
It's impossible.
You're going to decline.
You think it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Till one day you look around, the furniture's tired,
right.
The marriage is tired, the carpet's tired. It's going to deteriorate.
Yeah.
The flat lines always fall.
What's the thing that Elena's given you the most, that she's inspired you with the most?
She is a massive thinker.
Bigger than you?
Oh, way bigger.
Really?
Because she's not confined by mechanics.
She doesn't have a big office to pay for.
She doesn't have budgets. She lives in this ethereal, very light. It's not a heavy world she lives in.
Yeah.
She bounces on a ball. This is what she does all day long. Swear to God. She's going to hate me for saying this. I'm like, dude, I like you bouncing on the ball. Her abs are perfect. She could be pregnant and her abs are like bang, bang, bang. Because she bounces all the time.
Really?
All day long.
Like a big ball.
While she's bouncing, she thinks.
Wow.
And she thinks, she manifests. Like if there's any, like she is definitely magical.
Wow. It's like a unicorn.
She is magical. She can talk to animals. Like,
okay.
I mean, crazy shit. She's the one that thought about the jet, not me.
Really?
Yeah.
It was too big for you?
Yeah. Because I had to pay for it.
Right. You're like, how am I going to make this money? Dude, how am I going to pay for this?
First of all, a jet needs pilots. A jet needs a shelter. A jet needs fuel. A jet needs maintenance. A jet goes to zero. Blah, 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 blah. I'm stuck in this numbers world. Yeah, this puzzle. And she's not stuck in the puzzle. She already has the picture. You know?
She's already picked it out. She's like, this is the one we're getting.
No, she wasn't there yet. Like that's how not connected to the physical universe. So she just knows it flies.
It takes us around the world. It's comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, to her, it would be like there's, you know, it's way bigger.
It's a 747. Yeah.
Yeah. Already late.
Wow.
So she's, and there is value in having a partner in your relationships that is not stuck in mechanics, because mm-hmm. the mechanics stop people from the dream.
Yeah.
You know, at the new year, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, the resolution stuff. The big mistake that I make in my goal setting is the moment I set a goal, I want to move to how to do it. And when I do that, when I move to the how to, it stops me.
Really?
Yeah, immediately, because I don't have the money to do it. I don't have the time to do it. I don't live there. I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't have the connections. I don't know how to write a movie, make a movie, get a TV, whatever, right? I want a Netflix deal, okay? I don't know anybody at Netflix.
Right.
So you move into the mechanics, and the moment you move into the mechanics, you shatter the dream.
Mm. So how do you get out of the mechanics but make the dream come true?
How can I do it? Just ask yourself better questions. Who do I need to meet? But first you got to have the dream. Somebody's got to maintain the dream. You know, that somebody's got to be like, the house looks like this, and then I got to go up there and hammer it.
Yeah.
So maybe Elena's position, by the way, is as valuable as mine. I'm just the one, that
does the mechanics.
That's pounding.
Yeah.
So I'm the one that gets angry.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, I'm doing the work here. But the truth is, she's doing work too.
Without her work, you wouldn't be making it happen.
Dude, I wouldn't have a jet today.
Right.
I would be doing 8-hour events by myself if it wasn't for Elena. Because that's what I was doing before we got married. I was doing 8 hours.
And you just say, okay, I got a 10X and I got to do more of them.
Yeah, and I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't do it. Yeah. I was 50 years old and I was freaking coming home exhausted. Like I was like, I hated my life. I hated my business.
Wow.
I hated speaking. I hated the travel. Like I was angry all the time. She's like, why don't you just do a 3-hour event? She's like, it was brilliant. She's like, when do you feel good? I said at 3 hours, at 11 o'clock or at 12 o'clock in the morning, I feel fine. She's like, why don't you end it right then? I'm like, if I end it right then, I'm gonna have to cut the price and they're not gonna want it. And she's like, why don't you just try it? I did a 3-hour event. This was 12 years ago. More people came.
Mm.
I didn't lower the price and they were happier.
Wow.
And I came home and I was happy.
Yeah, and they probably wanted more from you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everything improved. Everything improved. Wow. Nobody wanted the 8-hour event. I thought because of my insecurities, I got to give more.
Yeah,
I got to give more to justify the price.
How do you guys talk about your dreams? Like, do you speak about it every day? Is she saying big picture ideas every day? Like, keep going for this. This is what we want. Do you guys?
Yeah, we talk. We go over money once a week.
And what does that look like?
Just sitting down and say, hey, this is where we're at. This is what we achieved.
This is how much we brought
in. This is what I'm sitting on. You know, this is the play. This is the play. The money door opens up all the other conversations.
Should,
because if you got a bunch, then you're like, what are we going to do? But we should celebrate.
Right.
And if you don't, where's that money going? It's going to these three deals. So she needs to know what I'm doing out in the world every day, mm-hmm. what roof I'm hammering on, mm. and what nail am I beating? I'm using that analogy because that was one of my first jobs. My uncle hired me to work on roofs, and I literally did not know how to use a hammer. I was so, like, mechanically, I am an idiot.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm like, what side of this hammer do I use? You know? Like, because I was in the middle of the hammer, not at the end of it.
Right.
And the guy taught me how to hammer a nail.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you go all the way in. Once it's in, you hit it again. Mm. Like, that's kind of how hard. I do my life today. Now, and then, by the way, you go double, you get another nail next to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Make it strong.
So when we're talking about that, the money, I need her to know where the play's going right now. The biggest problem is people don't listen, right? So our arguments come in where I'm like, I told you we're going to Oakland. God damn, how many times I got to tell you? You weren't listening to me. You were looking at your dumbass Instagram.
Yeah.
And those are when the arguments happen.
Yeah.
You know, because she was somewhere else for a second. Mm. And I thought she heard it.
Right. So you got to listen.
Yeah. And I got to make sure she's listening, because if she didn't hear me, really, it's my responsibility.
Right. You got to
make sure. Communicating.
Did you hear what I said? Yeah.
I was communicating to someone that wasn't
paying attention.
You can't communicate if they can't get it.
Right. Now, I love this conversation. Once a week, you guys sit down.
Yeah.
Is it just like a quick 5-minute thing, quick 10-minute thing? Is it an hour schedule?
So most of the time it's quick.
It's like 2 minutes. Like, you open up your
bing,
bank
bing,
account.
Bing, bing, bing.
You look at this. Like, here's where we're at.
So what we
here's
do.
What I'm planning to do this week.
Yeah.
Here's, we didn't do this yet. We're still going for it.
Yeah.
And how important do you think that is for every couple, married couple, to go over money once a week or once a month or even a consistent thing?
Yeah. Well, if it's zero, the conversation is terrible. Mm. Look, we have no money right now. Like in 2008, that's what we were doing. This is when we started this practice.
Really?
Look, we have no money. Like you can't spend anything.
Can't go down Rodale Drive and get your bags. And
there's none of that.
Wow.
Okay, I got it. Okay, like there's no cheating. There's no scamming. Like we don't have any money. We don't have any money coming in. And I have less money coming in than I have going out. We're bleeding right now. So
how old were you?
How old was
I? How old were you at that time?
I was 48, 49.
How did that make you feel to say we have no money at?
Dude, I was disgusted, like so disappointed with myself.
Wow.
That I had put my family in this situation.
Because
I'm the one that went to her, remember, and said, oh, your life's going to be unbelievable.
Right, I'm going to take care of this. You don't have to worry about anything.
I'm the man. I'm the baddest dude in the world.
And now you're not the man.
And now I'm like, shit, I've been cut in half.
Wow.
You know.
So you started
and I couldn't turn it around. There was no, in 2008, there was nothing, you couldn't do anything. There was nothing I could put on a cape and go save something. Mm-hmm. There was nothing to do. So it's just now you got to pay the price.
Mm. What was the price?
Fear, uncertainty,
yeah.
Insecurity. Are we going to go broke? I can't spend money. I can't even look at stuff. I can't spend money on ads. Mm-hmm. I have to do everything organic.
Wow.
It's hard work. I'm 50 years old. I should not be in this position.
Yeah, you should be thinking about retirement.
Dude, I should be thinking about kicking right now, you know? And I got a baby on the way. So, yeah, everybody sees what I'm doing now, and they're like, oh, my God, he's got it made. I hate his guts.
Right.
You don't know. Nobody knows what I go through every day.
Wow.
You know, and even when you solve the 2008 problem, you end up today, now you're having to juggle more responsibility.
It's still a lot of pressure. Way more pressure now than then.
You know, and you know, if you've been punched in the face before or cold cocked, then you're always like a little like, when's it coming again?
Yeah.
Am I in good shape so this doesn't happen again? You never know. You never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah. I think the first time we connected was in 2010 over a Skype interview, I think. 2009, 2010, maybe 2011. But it's been almost a decade since I've known you. And that was right after you started like building up. You were hustling then because you were a year or two prior, you know, pretty much broke, I guess.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I really admire how the decade, how much you did. A decade of time when you were kind of down and out, I guess.
Yeah.
Of how you were able to pick yourself back up when most people would say, I'm 50, I'm getting older, like, I got to slow down. You doubled down on your health, which I think is the most important. Yeah. I don't think people recognize how powerful your health is because of the energy you have to take on the responsibility.
Yeah.
If you didn't work out every single day the way you do, you probably wouldn't be able to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. But if you didn't work out.
I know a year ago, the last time I was on this interview, I think I just started working out every day. And my body was hurting all the time. I was in pain constantly.
You didn't want to do it. You were struggling.
Dude, my ankles hurt. My knees hurt. My back hurt. My like I had constant pain in my body.
Why'd you keep doing it?
Doing what?
Working out.
No, that's I wasn't working out.
Before you started working out,
my body was
weak.
You were
in pain.
I wasn't using my body. I didn't use it, and it started to abandon me. Like, I wasn't paying attention to it, you know? And it's like, okay, dude. You don't want to pay attention to me?
I'm going to make you pay
attention. Maybe I don't pay attention to you, you know? Or maybe I'll make you pay attention to me.
Yeah.
And then I went to a PT 3 days a week. That really didn't do anything. And I said, you know what? I need to take responsibility for this. If I want to fix something, that's the code of my life. Do you want to fix something? Take responsibility.
Yeah.
You take responsibility. Don't give it over to the physical therapist, the masseuse. Mm-hmm. I was trying the masseuse. The masseuse never helped me. I needed to put muscle on my bones. So I hired a guy named Anthony. He came, I said, you come to my place every day. Same time every day. Here's the money, here.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Ooh. Summarize with AI in a click. Writer's block. Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Take the money. Here's the schedule. I'm never going to miss a day.
Wow. And he travels with you too or no?
No. This was in the first year. And, you know, it's been 14 months. I have almost zero pain in my body.
Training every, when you're home, you're training every day.
And now, and 2 weeks ago, I went plant only.
Plant-based.
How's that feel? I dropped the meat, dude.
I want to do that. I did that for a week last week.
Yeah.
And I felt amazing. I had a lot of more gas just from all the plants, I think, but just cleaning it out.
That's really too much information for me.
But I've had way more energy.
Yeah.
And less inflammation and less pain. And
yeah, I had noticed, I have a little bit of inflammation in my hands, but it hadn't changed. But the plant-based thing, I watched the Game Changer show.
Yeah.
And when he said, dude, you're eating the metal, man. Like, when I heard that was enough for me
You're eating the middleman?
You're eating the middleman, meaning the cow. The cow eats the grass.
Right. Go right to the source.
The source is the grass.
Yeah.
And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing eating the middleman? I ain't a middleman guy. I want to go directly to the source.
Mm. Where all the energy's at.
Yeah, I mean, that was the line in the show that did me.
Wow.
And I had been thinking about it, too. I've eaten meat for 60 years.
Wow.
I grew up on bacon. 4 pieces of bacon every day.
So good.
Oh yeah, totally. The eggs. I have not eaten any meat in 12 days. And my energy is freaking this all day long.
Oh, wow.
3:30 in the afternoon for the last 25 years, I crash at 3:30. Hard crash. I mean, I'll see you guys. Call me later, okay? What you doing at 3:30? I got a meeting.
Yeah.
Nap. And that meeting was on that nap, dude. And when I hit it, I'm talking coma. Deep sleep. Better than sleep at night. Sometimes it would be 30 minutes. Sometimes it'd be an hour and a half. Like comatose. 12 days, I can't take a nap. I try to go take a nap. I cannot fall asleep. That's how good my energy has been.
Do you think you're gonna stick with this? Do you think you'll have meat sometimes? You think?
I'm not a fanatic guy. Yeah, so
you might have a little meat here and there or something.
I'm just gonna eat what makes me feel best.
Yeah.
So I don't care if it was meat, if it was pork, if it was bacon. But right now, as long as I can find the greens, and I haven't missed the meat.
Wow.
My digestion's better. Mm. You know, my energy's freaking great.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man.
I might have to try it with you. I might do a 30-day plant-based.
Yeah, just, you know, try one day. I just stack days, man, one day at a time.
Yeah.
But my energy, I didn't think my energy would get better because everybody's like, oh, your energy's going to be better if you do this or that. I'm like, dude, I don't have an energy problem. But when you don't have an energy problem and all of a sudden your energy goes up here and then stays stable all day long and I'm less irritable. I think really? I'm less irritable.
You're a nicer guy now.
Huh?
You're nicer now.
A little bit.
Less reactive.
I don't know if I'm nicer. I'm less irritable.
Wow.
Ryan, is that true? Ryan's like, you ain't any less irritable.
This is amazing, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But you see, there's another thing right there. Like, people got to keep working on themselves.
Yeah. Trying new things.
You got to give something up. Like, I'm always giving stuff up. My life changed when I gave stuff up. When I was 25 and I gave drugs up, I'm like, okay, I'm done. And then you give up your friends.
Right.
Because when you start changing, they're going to go.
People don't like it.
They're going to go or you're going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, I truly believe that if you're not changing your friends, you're not changing. Your friends should be, they should be like.
Every few years, a cycle.
Yeah.
Or they should be changing, growing with you.
They're not going to grow with you.
Really? Well, I hope my
they'll
friends,
grow later
I hope
on
I'm
their,
friends with you in 10 years.
Yeah, but we will be.
Yeah.
We will be, you know, but like I know I dated this girl. Her friends were her childhood friends.
Mm.
She never changed.
Yeah, it's tough.
None of them changed. The whole group never changed. Like for me to change, I can't think if me and you are best friends that me and you are going to have, we're going to change at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We have different reasons to change throughout life, right?
Right.
And Elena and I, we'll have different times when we want to change. My kids, like, my kids are going to change and they're going to leave. 100% they're going to leave.
Right.
They're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
And they're going to go from flying private back to flying commercial.
Yeah. You know,
until they coach. Yeah, until they figure out how to fly private,
right.
if they even want to do that.
Yeah.
But I've always said, I've changed so many times. I've moved, I've been 5 or 6 different cities. That's been great for me. Every move has been better for me.
Uh-huh.
I've changed friends. I've had lifelong friends that I know them, but.
You're not hanging out every day.
No, I've moved on.
Yeah. What do you say to people that are like, well, I love my childhood friends. We have this loyalty. We have this experience together.
You'll always have that.
Yeah.
Add some of that.
Right.
There's other people that want to be your friends, you know.
Yeah.
In other parts of the world. Other religions, other races, you know, have other stories.
Yeah. Meet new people.
Meet new people, man. Shit. I'm trying to get Ellen to come to our next 10X.
Really?
I'd love to have her speak there.
Did you make the offer?
Well, I think there's an offer being made.
Really? Wow. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
That'd be huge. Who you got coming this year?
We got Usher.
Usher. He's great.
Snoop.
Snoop Dogg.
We got
Kevin Hart. It's big.
It's as big as you get, right?
It's big.
We have Rick Forever, Rick Ross.
Uh-huh.
We have Scooter Braun.
He's great.
Yeah.
Good buddy of mine.
Is he a good speaker?
Great. Yeah. It's inspiring.
Magic Johnson.
Yep.
This is stupid. Marie Forleo.
Oh, yeah.
Who else? I got somebody. Oh, yeah. One I can't announce.
Tell me later. Yeah.
Yeah. You know him.
Sure.
Big. So anyway, that'll be good. But we're already making offers for next year.
Wow.
Ellen's one of them.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah, yeah.
She probably doesn't do too many events.
She'll do this one.
If you make the offer big enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Money won't make you happy, but it'll get you
the speaker. You get to show up.
It'll get you the speaker you want.
That's amazing. So what's
Ellen and Rock. That'd be a good combination.
Be unreal.
Yeah. I mean, his number's ridiculous.
It'd be unreal. I don't even know if he has ever spoken at an event besides like with the Lakers or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the big goal then for you this year? If you, you know, Elena's painted a picture with you. There's this dream that's 10X, 100X where you guys are at. What's the end of the year picture?
2020?
End of 2020. What's it look like? What's the dream come true?
I don't really think about it. I don't like the whole thing about the dates, you know, a goal is not a date. It is not a goal if you don't have a date or something. Right. I've never had dates on goals. I have dates on closings. Mm. I got to close this deal by January 20th.
Right.
Or the event is February 21st.
Sure.
But I got to be there. But on the big giant goals, I have no clue when they're going to take place.
Like, gotcha.
But the end of the year, like, you know, I want to be happy. I want us to be doing, you know, the kids doing good and they're happy and they're growing and they're more confident and they're 10 and 8. So, you know, they start moving into the teenage years.
Yeah, start looking at boys and,
you know. Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, man, it's coming quick, right?
Oh, my God, bro.
Texan boys there.
Oh, my gosh. She had a boyfriend already.
No way.
Blew him out.
Oh my gosh, she's crazy. What are the kids?
Scarlett, we were in Thailand this year. We did 19 countries last year.
Gosh.
And Scarlett's like, am I ever gonna be able to fly commercial? And I'm like, what? Am I ever gonna be able to fly commercial? And I'm like, I hope not. And then sure enough, the following week, they wouldn't let us fly into Thailand with my plane. So we had to fly commercial.
Shut up, wow.
Yeah.
So she gets to go first class.
She's like, I never want to do this again.
Yeah. You got to wait for 3 hours? You got to go through these lines?
Yeah, yeah. She's really a funny chick, so.
What have your kids taught you about being a better person?
Oh, dude, come on. You're going to make me tear up, man. I'm like, fuck, I love my kids so much. Like, I'd do anything for them.
Really?
Anything. Nothing I wouldn't do.
What have they taught you?
Just fun, you know. Fun, and they remind me of my childhood. I was such a good kid. Yeah. You know, 8, 9, 10 years old, I was like, I was happy.
Yeah.
I was fun. I was free. I was running. I was barefoot. You know, I mean, there was a lot of restrictions on me in my household. My dad was very, very strict. It was a threat, you know.
Yeah.
You know, quiet down. They don't get any of that. The environment's strict, but they're much freer. And, you know, And it's a different time, but you know, they're happy and they're not scared, and they're not scared of Papa.
Mm, they're not scared of you.
No,
that's nice. No. Nice.
Yeah, no, they, I've never hit them.
Wow.
Never threatened them, but they're extremely well behaved.
Yeah,
we've done a good job with my kids. Like you know, look at somebody's kids, you know, and you'll see something about them. You can't fake the kids. I mean, it's a product.
Right.
That comes out, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Right. Those kids they're like me, like in some ways they're like Elena, but they're a little crazy, they're a little wild. They do, you know, they have a lot of freedom to do a lot of stuff. They were doing cartwheels on the wing of the plane the other day, and
I
worry about all that, you know. I'm like, oh shit, man, are we gonna mess them up?
Yeah.
You know, so, we're homeschooling them.
Yeah.
You know, I worry, hey, I wonder if...
Are they going to be a social or...
Yeah. Oh, they're so... I'm not worried about social things yet.
What are you worried about for homeschooling them then?
You know, are we going to miss some subject that the schools would teach?
I mean, do you remember half those subjects anyways?
No. But I'm just like, we've just been conditioned to trigonometry.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I did it.
Algebra.
Like, what's that for?
I have no idea.
No clue. You know, so never used it.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, I just worry about some of that. I don't worry about the socialization. They meet people all the time. They met 2,500 people in LA the other day.
And wow.
Talked to them. They've been on stage. So the kids, what do they taught me, man? Have fun.
Yeah.
You know, and.
What are you most proud of as a dad that you...
And love, the way they love you. Yeah. Like they come home, they kiss me. They hug me every day.
It's got to feel amazing.
Dude, little...
You just come home and they just run up and, Papa. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, kills me, bro.
What does that feel like?
You know, jumps on my back all the time.
Oh, my God.
I ask them to do anything, they do it. I'm in a jacuzzi last night at 10. They come in. They want to be around me, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What are you most proud of the father you've become, the man you've become that's raised two great kids?
You know, that I figured out how to have a life where they get to experience me.
Yeah. My dad didn't figure that out. My dad was gone every day. I never saw my dad. And when he got home, he was tired.
Just drink a beer, go to bed, or watch
TV. he'd have a martini or a scotch before he, you know. And everybody, mom was like, leave your dad alone.
Yeah.
He had five kids, a lot of stress, you know. And then my kids have never had that. Mm. I come home, I play with them.
That's great.
Or I don't come home. We're going to a hotel and we play together, you know. We wake up in the same hotel. We're in a house up the streets, you know. We wake up, every day they see me. They've never not seen me. Mm. And when I go someplace, 90% of the time they're with me. So they've gotten the experience of their dad. Yeah. You know, I think part of it is like, I never thought I'd live very long.
Really?
Because my dad died when he was 52. My older brother died when he was 25. He was 5 years older than me. So I'm like, okay, 10, I lose my dad. 20, I lose my brother. I'm like, okay, nobody lives long. Mm. So I thought, okay, you live to 25, dude, you're lucky. 30, I kept thinking 30, I'm done. 40, I'm done. 50, I'm done.
60, you're just getting started.
Dude, I got a guy that lives in my building where I live in Miami. He's 88 years old. Wow. Grant, you're just getting started. I said, man, I got 27 years, bro. Are you serious?
Wow.
That would be crazy.
But it's going by quicker.
Because I feel like I just got started, man.
Yeah, you did. 10 years ago, you were just getting started.
I feel like I was just getting started.
At 50.
51.
That's inspiring.
How old are you?
36.
That's crazy, dude. You already got money invested in real estate.
But I feel like I need to get more.
Speaking on stages.
I need to get more, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. You do.
I feel like I'm way behind.
Yeah. Behind who, though?
Behind where I want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not comparing myself. I'm
just like where I want to be. That's all you need to know, you know. Yeah.
I want to finish with some non-negotiables for people for people that want to make more money that feel like they're. I saw a video posted the other day about millionaires are broke or something on Instagram. Well, I can't remember exactly what it was.
Never take advice from a millionaire. And the reason why is because, you know, millionaires are not, they're not certain about their money yet. They're scared, actually. I mean, if you ask them, just go ask them, hey, what got you $1 million? I was out there hustling, working deals, da da da. Then when you got $1 million, what happened? You started worrying about losing it. What do I do with this money? And you start saving it and protecting it. You were taking risks when you had nothing. Mm-hmm. You took a risk when you had nothing. You took risks when you had 100. Took risks when you had 300. Then you quit taking risks at $1 million. So that's why I say never take advice from a millionaire, because they go into conservation mode. The billionaire never goes into conservation mode. Like all the way up, he's just like expansion. Look at Elon. Yeah. Sells PayPal, walks away with $3 billion.
Puts it all in a...
Bang, 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 and rents.
Right.
Rents where he lives. Borrowed money to rent.
Yeah.
Shoved it all in.
Crazy.
Millionaire would never do that.
Why?
Takes all his chips off the table. And then looks at his chips and he's scared he's going to lose them again.
Why?
Never take advice from a millionaire. It's scared money.
What would be a few non-negotiables that everyone should take with their money? Like if you got 100,000, you want to get to $1 million. Yeah, if you got $1 million, you want to 10.
Attention to it.
Okay.
Look at your money every day.
Look at it every day. Look at the bank account.
Look at the bank account. What are your cash accounts and what are your investments?
Look at it every day.
Every single day. It takes five seconds.
What does that do for you?
Where am I at? Inventory. Personal inventory. Mm-hmm. So where am I at? It's measurable, you can see it. Yeah. If it's zero, look at it until it makes you sick. Okay, and then you see some money sitting in a bank, okay? You got 100 grand sitting in a bank account or 50 grand. Okay, you need, look what is it earning? No. People are unconscious, they don't know where their money is. This is the scam on this planet. You get money, you work your ass off, and then you give it to an institution. And you forget that it's there. Mm-hmm. Wells Fargo's paying you nothing. Bank of America's paying you nothing.
Chase, yeah.
You send it to Chase, they're not paying you anything. You send it to the mutual fund. You don't even know what it's invested in. It's invested in stuff you don't even believe in.
Right.
It's invested in war stocks, tobacco stocks, drug companies. Like you that's not things you even believe in. Like people have their money like that's not even conducive with the things they believe in their life.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't drink alcohol, why would you invest your money in alcohol stocks?
That's true.
So pay attention to where the money is. What is it paying you? Where is it? Look at it every day. It takes
literally 2 minutes or less.
Yeah.
Then that's a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Number two, on money, just on money.
Yeah.
Never do business with somebody you don't feel good about.
Mm.
Deal's never going to be good.
It's not worth it.
Can't get a good deal from a bad guy.
Mm.
Yeah. It's impossible. If I don't feel good, there's no way I will not give a person a penny.
Wow.
I don't care how good the deal is. Deal will never be good if the guy's bad.
Doesn't matter how bad you want it, what they have.
Do not do it.
Yeah.
So I have a list of like six things.
Yeah.
And if one of those boxes checks off, I know I shouldn't do this deal.
Wow.
More than one, for sure I won't do it. Wow. So it's got a cash flow. I won't invest in anything that doesn't pay me cash. Unless I have so much dead money that I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take a risk. But right, that's later.
That's, yeah, later.
Two, I need my money to grow. Yeah. If this is just a money conversation.
Yes.
I need to know that I'm getting paid to wait for something to grow. Three, I need to know that there is zero chance that this space will be disrupted.
Mm.
Like Uber, I wouldn't invest in Uber.
Mm.
You know, because I don't think Uber will be around.
Wow.
I think Elon brings his fleet back, says, I don't need people to drive cars.
Right.
I don't want anybody driving it in the front seat.
Right. It's too risky. Yeah.
Like, it's a risk. There's uncertainty there. What else? Tax advantages. I want tax advantages for my investments.
Mm-hmm.
I want to reduce my tax bill. Look, I earn money, I pay taxes. I get the money. They say, hey, you should now go hire people. I hire people, I pay taxes on what they earn.
Yeah.
With the money that I already been taxed on. I take the little bit of money I got left over and I go to the store, they tax me again. Yeah. That's three taxes.
It's crazy.
They encourage me to go buy a house down the street, then they charge me taxes to buy the house, taxes to borrow money on the house, and taxes to keep the house. Then I make investments for money that was already taxed, four times.
And you're taxed when you take it out.
And I'm taxed on that if it goes up.
Wow.
And then when I die,
you're taxed.
If I turn it into something, they want to get half of that too.
Wow.
So I'm like, I need to pay attention to the tax man because he's ripping people off. Not to mention if that those are not enough insults.
Mm.
They take the money and give it to people that waste it. It's not like the roads are better, the schools aren't better, the air is not better, the water's not better. So people should pay attention. Where's your money going?
Mm.
And then if you're going to do stupid stuff, like this watch that I have on is a ridiculous watch. When you buy stupid stuff, have some rules about stupid stuff. Mm. You know.
Like create boundaries, guidelines.
Yeah, like, okay.
I'll spend this much a year on whatever I want.
You do stupid stuff when, you know, I have my rules. So
yeah, when you get a big deal closed, then I'll spend this much on whatever I want
yeah.
to celebrate or just yeah. to have fun.
My stupid rules are I got to be able to buy two of them. So if I can only buy one, I won't buy it.
Really?
It has to be in cash. And the cash had to come from passive income.
Mm.
And then I can do anything as I want.
Yeah.
And then I also need to know at the end of that it was a stupid thing. I need to be able to admit I can do it, but it's stupid.
This is not a smart investment.
It's dumb. It's not an investment. It's just.
It's just fun. It's life.
You just whatever. Living. You don't even have to say you deserved it.
I just wanted it.
I did.
I'm just, yeah.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I love it, man. What's the big thing that you want to say next year when we get back on this that you are proud of that you did this year?
Mm. I think we hit 3 billion by the next time I'm on a podcast with you.
So 3 billion.
3 billion.
What was the first, a few years ago?
You were here, when I was here a couple years ago, that's when you challenged me on the 10X thing.
Yeah.
We were looking at a deal that was 70 million. And you're like, why don't you 10X it, man? What about the 10X thing, man?
So that was 70 million a few years ago, like 3
no,
billion.
No, I think that deal was 90 million I was looking
million,
at. It was
yeah.
a $90 million deal. And you're like, why isn't it 900 million?
Yeah.
We did $860 million worth of deals last year.
My man.
Okay. I met two real estate, Josh Altman, the millionaire.
Yeah, yeah. I met him on. Yeah.
I said, what'd you sell last year, Josh? He says, 500 million. Me and Ryan chuckled. We bought 860.
Wow.
Brandon Williams, crazy dude, read the 10X rule 10 years ago and never sold a house in LA. Number one real estate agent in America today.
Really?
Him and his wife. Did 700, what did he say he did, Ryan? 760? In LA.
In selling.
The number one real estate agent wow. in the United States.
You bought more than that.
I bought more than he sold.
Wow.
That is a stupid number. Wow. I'm a little guy, dude. Like, I'm not, these are, for the viewer, these are institutional numbers.
Yeah.
These are massive numbers.
So 3 years ago, you were trying to do a 90 million deal. You were like so excited about it.
Lewis House, Mr. 10X Chandler, the Chandler of the 10X, took the 10X rule, flipped it on me, and said, why aren't you doing 10 times that? We walked out of here, and I'm like, let's go do some big deals, dude.
Wow. And now you want to do $3 billion by the end of
the season. Lewis House is not going to punk me on his podcast. And you're not going to tell me that shit without me freaking. I love that about you. But yeah, I love that. I love challenges from people.
Yeah.
You know? And so we did 860 last year. That's close. Amazing. So we'll close. I think we get to another billion, maybe $1.2 billion this year. So that'll put us at about, we could hit $2.5 billion this year.
So you want to be at $3 billion next time we talk?
Next time we talk, we're at $3 billion.
$3 billion, man. From 90 mil to $3 billion.
I mean, if I was really thinking different, I'd be like, you know, let's just skip this thing, dude. Let's just take time out of the equation.
$10 billion. Huh? Why not just go to?
I mean, I know how we could add $3 billion right now. We just have to think different. Why not?
That's what I'm saying. Like, why are you going so slow?
I know. If you're going to fix the floor, why not fix it now?
You might as well.
You know, if you're going to do it, do it.
What would it take for you to get $3 billion within 6 months?
Nah, I couldn't do it in 6 months, just mechanically. But let's just say, how could I?
Yeah, how could you?
So, okay, I'd take $100 million that I have. I'm sitting on 100, and I'd go to a big institution and say, hey, 10x my 100.
Give me a bill.
So that'd be a bill. They'll do that 100%.
All right.
I'll take the bill, go buy $3 billion, because $1 billion will buy $3 or $4 billion worth of real estate. We could do $4 billion this year.
I don't understand why you're thinking so small.
Let's do it.
Why are you thinking so small?
We do that, I'm gonna do a cold plunge with you.
Let's do it.
And then we're gonna measure our penises. After the cold plunge, though.
Sucked in.
How small can you get?
Who says that?
Okay,
you because did. I wanna know how tiny did you get in the ice?
I'm getting small, man.
Everybody was
it's
tiny,
going small,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So $3 billion. I mean, seriously though.
Like that's all I could think about when I saw you guys in ice. I'm like, how small is his dick right now? I got it.
Hey, it's good for your health.
I'm sure it is. Circulation?
It's great, man. It's great for you.
Yeah. Did you feel good?
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Alive. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, yeah. $3 billion, 6 months. Is it
dude,
is
we
it
could
possible?
Do that this year. We need to go have the conversations with the guys.
Like, why do you play so
give
small?
Me the
I'm curious why you play so small when you have the opportunity. You got the 100 million.
I'm ashamed of myself.
I'm serious, though. Like, you have the money. You can. You just came up with the answer in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Why wait 2 years? Yeah. Oh, I'm going to wait 2 years to get this. That seems like a small man's thinking.
School of greatness. School of greatness. That's why I come here. I came here for my therapy session today. Thank you, Dr. Phil.
You know? I mean, what else are you going to do with the 100 mil? I mean, you're just going to play small?
I'm playing slow. I'm not playing small. I'm playing slow. Because, I mean, nobody's going to say I'm playing small, but
I mean,
because we're not. But we're playing slow.
Compared to, why are you playing slow?
There you go. Because if you're going to go someplace, just without being reckless, you know, go.
When have you not done things that weren't reckless? I mean,
I'm not reckless. No, dude, I am extremely, like I appear to be reckless.
Right.
But I am.
You're risk averse. Yeah.
I am risk averse. I am extremely like thoughtful.
Yeah.
Even though I would appear to be reckless to people.
All right. Well, I see a clear plan of 100 million to 3 bills, so.
If I come up, you know, I love it. Let's do it.
Start making calls, Ryan. Okay. Grant, love you, man.
Thank
I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you, okay?
You're the man.
Thanks.
My friend, thank you so much for being here. I always love having Grant come on. For some reason, every time we get together, some type of magic happens. I'm always learning from him. Even though I listen to his content and I consume his information, if you don't have his book yet, make sure to get 10X. But every time I'm around him, I just learn something new. Whether it's from something he says or just his energy. He just has so much energy for his age and he's just constantly growing. He's thinking bigger. And when something seems impossible, like he talked about in this interview, he just sat for a moment. He said, okay, if this wasn't impossible, what would need to happen? And then he just starts to figure it out. And that's what I love about him. He doesn't allow anything to hold him back. If only for maybe a little bit, it holds him back until he starts to think bigger, right? He starts to think of that 10X mindset. That's what I love about Grant. If you enjoyed this, make sure to subscribe over on Apple Podcasts. I'd love to see more people subscribing. We've got over 6,000 five-star reviews, so leave us a review. Those reviews are like
energy for our soul here at Team Greatness, and it helps spread the message over on the podcast world as well. We're looking to continue to build this, to make it bigger, to impact and change more lives, and you can help us. Just text one friend, text a few friends who you think this could be helpful for, that this would inspire. You can change someone's life today by sending them this link, lewishouse.com/905, to listen to this episode with Grant. He's just got so much wisdom. It's a crime if you don't share it with a friend. You're holding back on some information that could help people. So make sure to share it with them. Post it on social media. Tag me at Lewis Howes and at Grant Cardone over on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all those places. We'd love to hear from you. So please do that and let's stay connected. Also, make sure to check out my documentary. The movie is coming out. It's kind of like The Secret on steroids. If you go to greatness.com, you can opt in to be notified. We're going to be giving it away for free for a limited amount of time. So make sure to go to greatness.com, opt in, and there will be a premiere in LA coming very soon. Be on the notified list so I can send you a message of when that is happening. There are limited seats, but I'd love to see you there. You know, Warren Buffett said, the more you learn, the more you earn. So if you're listening to this podcast and if you continue to come back every single week and learn powerful skills, you're supposed to earn more. That's right, because you can take this information and apply it and not make the mistakes from the past, but you can start applying wisdom from the greatest minds and leaders today. I hope you enjoyed this one. I love you so very much. You know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.